Good evening.
I have had the opportunity quite a few times to work with a few farmers. I got a chance to interact them with my previous job. I also got to work with a few during cotton harvest one season, and it was interesting being around them and just spending time with them. You know, some of them are older, and they have a way of looking about things that a lot of them would call themselves simple-minded. Say, I'm just a simple-minded man. But you spend time with them, and you see the way that they approach their work, and the way that they approach the repairs that need to be done, and all these different things. And, you know, I look at them, and I think they're anything but simple-minded. They really, some of the older farmers that I've met have some of the sharpest minds that I've ever met. There is a wisdom behind that. Farmers have this wisdom about their craft, and really, they need to. A lot of that comes from just a willingness to learn. Willingness to learn from those who have come before them, also just having to learn. A lot of it comes from you know, trial and error, the need to keep on pushing and to not give up. Wisdom just in that field seems to be a necessity. You need to have it and to gain it, or else it's going to be hard on you. It's going to be hard for you. And really, I look at wisdom for us, as children of God, as people of God, and it really, it's a necessity for us as well. I think about, there are going to be so many challenges that come up in our life, that seek to knock us flat, and if we don't have wisdom, then we won't be able to survive in those times. If you would turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 20. Here we have a personification of wisdom, and it says in verse 20, "Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you, because I called you and you refused. Because I called you and refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention, and you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes like a sword, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But he who listens to me shall live securely, and will be at ease from the dread of evil." I read in verse 26, "I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes." When your dread comes like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind. Now, in this, the writer is using some pretty strong language. He's writing to his son. He just got over describing the way of the wicked, and it seems like in this verse, you really have people that are completely in open rebellion and refusing to accept wisdom. And I know that many of us are not like that, but still, sometimes we can have a hard time accepting wisdom in our life. And it's so needed, because I think about all the things that we dread. That was the word that stuck out to me, dread. And I think about all the things that we can dread in this life. You know, whether it be spiritual things, we can dread the temptation that comes, or physical things. We can dread losing our house. We can dread something happening to someone that we love. We can dread something happening to our health. We can dread all of these things, and they may happen. They certainly, the time may come, and if we lack wisdom, then we will be in these situations with just exasperation and not knowing what on earth we're supposed to do. How are we supposed to attack these different situations that come up to us? And maybe we think about these things and we say to ourselves, well, I mean, the Bible, it really can't help me with all these things. It can't help me with all these different problems that I face in my life. It's an old book. It's very helpful, but it just can't help me with everything. And I would say to that, that's absolutely not correct. I would say that God's Word, God's inspired, breathed out Word, can give us everything that we need to know. But not only that, a blessing that I notice when I read this passage, starting in verse 20, wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters his sayings. When I read this, you know what I think of? Wisdom is everywhere. Wisdom is calling for people everywhere. Wisdom is to be found everywhere. If people will just listen. Sometimes we can really have a hard time applying God's Word to our lives because, you know, maybe some of the terms that are used seem foreign to us. Maybe some of the situations seem foreign to us. But when we look with honest eyes with our life around us and we look at God's Word, you know, maybe the terms and some of the things may seem different to us, but it's not. We can apply it. And wisdom can be found in all of God's creation, in all of the trials that we go through, in all of the God's nature that He has put in front of us. We can use all of this to apply with God's Word and learn how to live our life. There is a book that I was reading. It's actually about homeschool education, but it says this: when a baby is picked up, spoken to, and loved, he is starting his education as God planned it. For all our lives, we are human beings in an active state of learning, responding, understanding. Education extends to all of life. In fact, an educational system that says, one bright summer in the days of the dawn of my youth, there, now you are educated, this piece of paper says so, is doing me a gross disfavor. We can learn from all that God has given us. We can learn from the people that surround us. We can learn from our brethren. We can learn from the nature that God has given us. Wisdom can be found everywhere. And applied with God's Word, we can do so much learning. Now, I'll say that with a caveat. Obviously, wisdom can be found everywhere. Sounds like an awfully weird statement. Obviously, we can't forget the key to wisdom. How are we introduced to wisdom? Well, we see in the beginning of chapter 1, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. Job asks in Job 28 and verse 20, where then does wisdom come from, and where is the place of understanding? And in verse 23, God understands it, and He knows its place. And in verse 28, and to man He said, behold, the fear of the Lord. That is wisdom. Obviously, true wisdom, true wisdom comes from God. And a fear of Him, a knowledge of His Word is key. But with this key, we can look at the world around us, we can look at the situation or at all the situations around us, and we can find even more wisdom. We can find even more application. This world that God has given us is, I mean, it's just full of ways to understand how to serve Him better. It's amazing, really. It's all just waiting for us to learn and to understand Him more. But when we are faced with these situations where we need wisdom the most, where we're faced with struggles, where we find ourselves on our knees, like, I don't know what to do. I wish that I had wisdom in the situation. The time to look for that wisdom won't... Probably the best time to look for that wisdom will not be in the middle of that situation. A search for wisdom, a preparation time for wisdom, probably should have happened before then. I recently was working on building a bookshelf for our house, and I got all the wood, I got the tools that I need, and I started working on it, and I got in the middle of it, and I realized, I don't know how to build a bookshelf. I have no idea what I'm doing. Probably should have started off with some sort of plan in the middle of all of before all of this. And I had to go, you know, kind of crying off to my brother-in-law and ask him, how do I fix this? It ended up okay, but it was there was a lot of trouble that would have been saved if I would have just done a little preparation in the first place. Whenever we wait until the time that we need to use wisdom to try to find wisdom, what do we read in verse 26? I will laugh at your calamity. In verse 28, they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. It may come a time that we're looking for wisdom, that we dearly need wisdom, or we just can't find it because we should have been looking before. Can we prepare for every situation? Of course not. There's no way for us to prepare and seek wisdom for every kind of situation that we're going to face in life. But we can prepare. There's a balance between things. There are people that prepare for everything. They have everything scheduled in advance for like the next 5 years. They know exactly what they're doing. I am not one of those people. I'm one of those people that wait until the very last minute to even contemplate about thinking about something. And there's bad things that come with both of those. Obviously, you cannot rely on the fact that you have prepared everything out, because something will come up that requires flexibility, and you won't be able to be flexible in that. You can't wait until the very last minute to prepare for something for just the reasons that we've talked about. I'm very much a... We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But I want to change that statement to climbing mountains. I'll climb that mountain when I get to it. Preparing to climb mountains. Can we prepare to climb every mountain that we face? Can we prepare, say, this is how I would climb a snowy mountain, this is how I'd climb a dry mountain, this is how I'd climb a mountain if it was hot? Well, no, because eventually we'll come to a mountain that's dry, and hot, and also snowy when you get to a part of it. You know, you just can't plan everything out. But you can prepare to climb a mountain. You can gather up the wisdom and the knowledge to climb mountains. It doesn't have to be that we are prepared for every situation that we might encounter on a mountain, but we can prepare to climb them. Can we prepare to be wise as God would call wisdom? Can we prepare to be Christ-like in every single situation? No, but we can prepare to be Christ-like. We can prepare to be wise. And then when the situations come up, we may have to do a little changing, a little rearranging of things, but we'll know how we're supposed to act. And also know that it's a continuous process. I think I was thinking about the foundations that Jesus talks about in Matthew 7. Whoever does these words and acts on them will be the one that sets the right foundation. And that sounds... Sometimes it's kind of hard for me to think about, because the foundation is set. You know, you set the foundation one time and then you carry on. But it's not like that with Jesus' teachings, right? We constantly learn them and do them and constantly apply them. We don't just set that foundation once. But we do every day make decisions. We do every day do things that we, with every decision that we make, with every action that we make, we can set Christ's foundation on that. It's a continual process. We never get to the point where we just do something one time and say, then we're set. We're set for life. Jesus said in Matthew 11:29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." You think about an animal, whenever it takes its yoke upon, or whenever the yoke is put on it, it keeps that yoke on it until it's done with its work. This work of learning from Jesus, of learning wisdom from Jesus, from learning how to be Christ-like from Jesus, while we're on this earth, that work is never going to be done. We are never going to get to the point where we can take off that yoke. It is going to be a continuous process. So what are the things that keep us from having wisdom, from laying hold of wisdom? One of the things that I thought about, again, we view wisdom shouting in the streets, in the square, in the noisy streets, at the gates. There are tons and tons of people in these places. What I envision, these crowded streets, the gates of the city is typically where they had markets, they did business deals, they had different judgments that happened there. There's a lot going on. And you have this vision of wisdom standing amongst it all saying, "Please, listen to me, take me, please." And you know why a lot of, what I imagine why a lot of people aren't listening to or heeding to wisdom in all of this? Because they're too busy doing whatever they're doing. They're too busy going through the busy street. They're too busy going with their different market deals and focusing on what they're doing. And it is so easy to do that, to just zone out in this life and be focused on what we're doing, that we don't realize that there is more wisdom to be had in every situation, that we can seek God's wisdom more in every situation. Maybe we struggle with attaining and seeking wisdom just because we don't prepare, like I already mentioned. Also, maybe we just don't like the message. I mean, you think about wisdom standing in the street saying, "How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge." I mean, you have someone shouting that in the streets, it's going to be hard for you to listen to that. We don't like the message. We don't like the message that maybe we're not wise as we think that we are. But that is the message. That's the message that screams out to me, is I am not as wise as I think that I am. I don't like it, but it's the truth. And if I don't accept that, then I'm never going to seek and attain true wisdom. Maybe we love being simple-minded. It's really hard to... A lot of the things that I'm talking about requires a lot of brain work. And brain work is not easy. It is hard to think. Sometimes it's more exhausting to sit around thinking about something than it is to actually do something. I learned that when I started doing this. I go through, you know, a few days in a row where all I do is think all day. And when I first started doing this, sometimes I was like, man, I don't think that I've ever used my brain ever. That is a muscle that I don't think that I have worked out ever. It's very hard to do that. And that's part of the reason why we zone out so much. We don't like to think. There's too much to think about and to react to already. Who wants to do any of that? I think again about some of the farmers that I've met. Again, some of them say that they have a simple mind, but when it comes to doing their work, when it comes to knowing their work, when it comes to all the things that they actually do in a day, they wouldn't want to be simple-minded about any of that. They take pride in what they do and in their ability to do it. We, as children of God, who have put on the name of Christ, should want to fulfill that name that we've taken on. should take pride not in ourselves, but in Jesus, in our ability to be children of Him, through Him. Maybe we hate knowledge. Those who in verse 22 it says, "Fools hate knowledge." If we think about preparing for some of the really scary situations in life, like something bad happening to us or something bad happening to one of our family members, that's not stuff that you want to think about. Sometimes I really hate knowing that bad things happen in this life. Nobody wants to think about that. Nobody wants to plan about that. And if you do plan for it, that means you have to think about it. I think about the farmers that know that there are going to be dry years. There are going to be years where you're going to have some really bad insects. You're going to have years where you don't really make a whole lot. And some of that stuff is not easy to think about, and really we hate thinking about it. But if you don't plan, then you might as well have not planned it. You might as well have not done anything. Scoffing. Maybe we like scoffing. Maybe when we're encountered by true wisdom, right? Maybe when we're encountered by the wisdom of God in our lives, we just kind of scoff at it and say, that's not for me. That can't be for me. That's not true. Because we think that we know it all. Or at least I think that I know it all sometimes. I encountered many a farmer that, just realized whenever he's working on his tractor, he didn't know what to do. And so he would call somebody to come take a look at it. And, most of the times they wouldn't scoff at that. They would say, yeah, that's probably right, and move on. And I say that with a caveat, because we also see at the end of this, in verse 32, that the waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. Have I seen a lot of farmers be able to, take some information without scoffing it off? Yes. But have I seen a farmer that has a stubbornness in him? Have I seen a farmer that is not willing to change his ways no matter what somebody says? Have I seen a farmer that is complacent, that, the way that I've done it is the way that I'm going to do it for the rest of my life because that's the way that works? Sure, I've seen that too. But that's one of the biggest barriers that can keep us from wisdom, is if we are hard-headed and say that my way is right, it doesn't matter what happens, no matter what the Bible says, the way that I know is completely right, then of course we're never going to gain wisdom. If we are complacent, if the way that I've been living my life has worked up until now, so it must be okay until the way that I die, if that's the way that we live our life, what is the end of all of this? The waywardness of the naive will kill them. The complacency of fools will destroy them. if we are not seeking God's wisdom constantly, seeking to be led by God and His wisdom, then the same end will be for us. But we think about stripping away some of these things. Telling ourselves that we don't know everything. We think about telling ourselves that we need to stop being stubborn-headed, that we need to stop being complacent, that we don't know it all. It kind of, as I say that to myself, as I was saying it to myself this afternoon, it kind of leads to a feeling of insecurity. Like, I'm really not as secure as maybe I think that I am. And most of that is because I'm putting my security in the wrong place. When you start stripping these things away, when you start realizing that we don't know it at all, that I can't be confident in everything that I know of my own accord, that I do need some rebuke in my life, again, it makes us feel insecure, but that's not the worst thing. I love the comparison that is made in the Bible of us as clay and the potter being God. Him forming us and making us. is complacent, is a disquieted feeling and insecurity in myself that bad? No, really, it's probably a good thing, because what I come to find out is that I have been convinced that I am supposed to be a vessel in a certain way, but I am not focusing on my Maker, who has made me not only physically, who has made me into my actual physical person, but through Jesus, through His amazing sacrifice, has made me into a vessel for His servanthood and for His glory. And for me to figure out how to do that, I need to ask Him. I need to put my trust in Him. I need to seek His wisdom. I can't seek my own. I don't know how to be a vessel for Him. I only know how to be... We only on our own accord know how to be vessels of dishonor, not honor. To learn how to do that, we have to seek His wisdom. And what does it say at the end of that of this chapter? In that is where we find security. In God is where we find security. And I love that word, security. Doesn't it sound so wonderful and comforting? And it is. That's what our God is. He gives us security. I love Psalm 18, starting in verse 1. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Brothers and sisters, I don't know how you can get more secure than that. And that comes with a humbleness, a love for God, and the fact that He blesses us with wisdom if we only choose to seek it in Him. If you need anything this evening, if you need prayers of the congregation, or if you need to be baptized, we ask that you please come forward while we stand and as we sing.